Hello, and welcome back to Reservoir's Bible Guide podcast for Lent 2018. This year, during the Lenten season, we're exploring the book of Revelation, focusing on our identity as children of God in a fractured world, and looking for hope as we resist the worst of our times and let Jesus center us. My name is Helen Lee, and I'm on staff here at Reservoir Church. This year's Bible Guide was written by Steve Watson, senior pastor at Reservoir, and I'm happy to share it with you here in podcast form. Thanks for joining us. Reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 1 through 20. Then I looked, and there was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him were 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of loud thunder. The voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps, and they sing a new song before the throne, and before the four living creatures, and before the elders. No one could learn that song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. It is these who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins. These follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They have been redeemed from humankind as first fruits for God and the Lamb, and in their mouth no lie was found. They are blameless. Then I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. He said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." Then another angel, a second, followed, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the great. She has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Then another angel, a third, followed them, crying with a loud voice, "Those who worship the beast and its image and receive a mark on their foreheads or on their hands, they will also drink the wine of God's wrath, poured unmixed into the cup of his anger, and they will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and its image and for anyone who receives the mark of its name." Here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and hold fast to the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Write this, blessed are the dead who from now on die in the Lord." "Yes," says the Spirit, "they will rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them." Then I looked, and there was a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was one like the Son of Man, with a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Another angel came out of the temple, calling with a loud voice to the one who sat on the cloud, "Use your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come, because the harvest of the earth is fully ripe." So the one who had sat on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was reaped. Then another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. Then another angel came out from the altar, the angel who has the authority over fire, and he called with a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, "Use your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for its grapes are ripe." So the angel swung his sickle over the earth and gathered the vintage of the earth, and he threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress, as high as a horse's bridle, for a distance of about 200 miles. Some points of interest here. The Lamb standing on Mount Zion. The fifth of Revelation's seven worship scenes begins with the Lamb atop Jerusalem's mountain. In John's spiritual tradition, this is tantamount to saying Jesus is standing up as King of the world. A voice from heaven like the sound of many waters. Jesus' beautiful and powerful voice is mingled with the songs of the people Jesus has redeemed. While some people have been busy buying into empire, Jesus has been buying into the songs and freedom of people. They are virgins. As with just about everything in Revelation, reading this literally doesn't do service to the text. Sexual purity is used extensively in the Bible and in apocalyptic literature as a symbol for devotion to God. The worshippers aren't buying the lying seduction of empire, be it the gods of Rome or the promises of Western consumer capitalism. Another angel. The rest of the chapter is structured around seven messengers of God, three angels, a Christ-like figure on a cloud, and then three more angels. The hour of his judgment has come. The message of the angels is judgment. I'd like to suggest we read these symbols of judgment less as punishment and more as truth-telling and exposure. Revelation's purpose isn't to threaten, but to literally reveal how God is with us and how God sees things. From God's perspective, the promises of civic religion, peace and victory for Rome, life and liberty and happiness in our time, are bankrupt. They lead us away from God's springs of water and into the wine of wrath, away from health and toward that which intoxicates us but leaves us worse off. Fire and sulfur. If you've ever wondered where the expression fire and brimstone comes from, this is the spot. Brimstone is sulfur, a long and slow-burning, nasty-smelling rock. John's vivid language is polemical, meant to scare people out of compromise. Blessed are the dead who from now on die in the Lord. There's a note of comfort in this passage that people who hold to the faith of Jesus and die, whether naturally or through violence, will rest with God and be gathered to God in the metaphorical grain harvest of verses 14 through 16. The great winepress of the wrath of God. The grain harvest is followed by a grape harvest, which is less comforting. John didn't invent the phrase blood as high as a horse, but borrowed it from common use in apocalyptic literature to evoke the violence that comes to the enemies of God who live by violence themselves. It's ironic that in American history, the phrase grapes of wrath, borrowed from this passage, came to be used in the battle hymn of the Republic to threaten the violence America's armies would do to our enemies, as if a violent God is on the side of our country. This is the language and behavior of the dragon or the beast, not of God's kingdom. A spiritual exercise to try. This week, we're responding to the idea of judgment by practicing critique and truth-telling, noticing places in our own contemporary American consumer empire that overpromise, lie, or do violence. Ask God if there are places in your life where you have seen God as on your side, or on the side of your country and group, and cheered on harm to your enemy. Seek God's forgiveness and a faith and mindset free of this pollution. And a direction for prayer, for your six, that they would have the perspective to notice false promises they have believed in. Ask God for their redemption and freedom.